Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, today is just about, we're one day ahead of time, but just about tax day here in America. So I've been thinking about this subject about tax day and so forth. And I wanted to talk about it in relationship to the immigration issue. I was reading an article out on immigrationreform.com. And out on immigrationreform.com, there's an article there that says this, mass immigration is the key reason residents in high-tax states are voting with their feet. The article goes on to say this. It says, Stephen Moore, a longtime libertarian crusader for mass immigration, accurately notes in a Washington Times op-ed that those who still can are getting out of high-tax redistribution states. He says in the article, quote, residents of high-tax states are voting with their feet, unquote. He notes that in the article. And then he says, what he fails to mention, though, at least the article that I'm reading from immigrationreform.com, he goes on to say in this article, what he fails to mention, however, is the reason for that phenomena is that a growing number of people in those states who rely heavily on state redistribution policies are voting, and they're voting with their votes. I found this very interesting because the other day we were talking a little bit about libertarians, and specifically I think Stephen Moore is joined up with Rand Paul to help him out, to advise him on his campaign for the presidency. And Rand Paul, I've had Rand Paul on the radio program, and specifically I was not that impressed with Rand Paul's view about immigration. He wasn't as strong on closing the borders as I thought that he would be. He was a little bit more open. He started off by saying that these are key words to me, that we have a problem with our current immigration system, is what he said during the interview when I spoke with him. And that, to me, is code for we need comprehensive immigration reform, which to me, again, means we're going to give a lot of amnesty to people when they start talking that way. Well, if you're tired of paying high taxes and you don't want to pay much, much higher taxes, then you need to be interested in how we deal with the immigration problem in this country. And here to talk about that issue is Ira Melman. And Ira is the media director for FAIR. And so you can go out to his website or their website. The one that I've been reading from is a website that's entitled immigrationreform.com. Immigrationreform.com. And you can go out there to read the article that I just referred to. Ira, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Thank you very much.
Ira, tell us a little bit about your comments related to Steve Moore's comments about people voting with their feet.
Well, you know, he had an op-ed in the Washington Times yesterday, and it just struck me as odd. You know, this has always been a problem with the libertarians. You know, they don't want wealth redistribution, and they also don't want any sort of restrictions on immigration. Hmm. They believe in the free movement of capital and labor. The problem is that you can't have essentially open borders and a system where you don't redistribute a lot of wealth. In a democracy, and eventually people will get the right to vote, people vote their economic interest. And if you are depending heavily on government services for your survival, we have to remember that the typical illegal immigrant in the United States has about a 10th grade education, which means even if you were to give them legal status, they would still be earning low wages because they're poorly skilled and poorly educated. And once you get the right to vote, you're going to vote for all kinds of programs that redistribute wealth. You're depending on government services. That's the way you're going to vote. So, you know, we can either have low taxes or we can have high immigration, but we cannot have both. The two are simply incompatible.
Now, when you get to a point where the people that are dependent upon the redistribution policies, when their numbers increase to the point that they outnumber the people who are actually providing the wealth that gets redistributed, then we've got a real problem, right?
Right. You've passed the tipping point, and you see evidence of that in places like California, New York, Illinois. And those are precisely the states that Moore points out where native-born Americans are actually picking up and moving elsewhere. So, you know, he's essentially undermining his whole case. The people who live in these states that have already passed the tipping point, if they're still part of the tax base, you know, their decision is, I'm getting out of here because I simply can't afford it anymore.
Is it fair then to assume, it seems logical that this would be the case, but is it fair to assume then that the illegals that have come into this country are going to be those people that are going to be heavily dependent upon the redistributed wealth?
Yeah, even legal immigration results in that, because our immigration policy, our legal immigration policy, doesn't select people based on their likelihood to succeed in the United States. It's based primarily on endless family reunification. So, you know, we admit people, you know, somewhere in the distant past, we admitted somebody based on some objective assessment of their likelihood to contribute. But after that, if the system goes on autopilot, they start bringing in endless chains of relatives, many of whom lack the education and skills necessary to succeed in a 21st century American economy. And so, you know, we have large numbers of people who are coming legally to the United States who are going to be dependent on government services. These are people who, as I said, came legally and will be eligible to be citizens within 5 years. And when they vote, they're likely to vote for their economic interests. You know, there's nothing surprising about that. That's usually the deciding factor for most people in voting. What are my economic interests? And we shouldn't expect that the immigrants are going to vote any other way.
Mm-hmm. So it's assumed that they're going to vote Democratic. They're going to vote for the Democrats primarily, although in the GOP, there's a lot of people that are also interested in redistribution of wealth as well. Let's not kid ourselves. But primarily, they're going to vote to the left. Is that correct?
Well, yeah. And, you know, it's interesting you point out the GOP, the people in the GOP who tend to support open immigration are the ones who want to provide more and more cheap labor to employers here in the United States, and that's also a form of wealth redistribution. You're taking earnings away from American workers, and you're essentially subsidizing low-cost immigrant workers because the employers prefer to pay lower wages. But you're right. You know, when it comes to people who depend on government services, the Democrats are always going to give you a better deal. You know, that is kind of the trademark of the Democratic Party, and you know, if you're going to be depending on government services for your essential needs, you're most likely going to vote for the party that's going to give you the best deal.
I saw a picture yesterday. It was kind of a cartoon about Hillary's announcement as president and then the van tour that she's supposed to be on or soon taking here. And so it showed a picture of the van, and the outside of the van said free candy. So she was going to be going around giving free candy out. But that kind of lines up with the idea of, you know, giving away all of this, all the wealth, giving away all the services that other people have paid into in order to provide for Americans, not for illegal aliens that are here in this country, right?
Right. And I think this explains why Americans are so fed up with the way government is run in the United States. You have one party that wants to redistribute their jobs to people coming from outside the country who will work more cheaply. And then for those people who still have jobs and still pay taxes, they want to redistribute their money to support all these low-wage workers that are being brought into the country. Mm-hmm. So the American public is very understandably fed up with both parties on a lot of issues, but certainly on immigration, because neither party is doing anything that even resembles looking out for the interests of the American people.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, what kind of numbers are we talking? And I mean two things by that. I mean, what kind of influx of voters that are going to vote for more redistribution because they're going to be the beneficiaries of it? And what kind of bill are we talking to the American taxpayer?
Well, right now there isn't a bill. What is happening is the president has decided he's going to act unilaterally. Congress, the Republican-led Congress, had a chance to cut off the funds when the Department of Homeland Security's budgeting bill came up. John Boehner and Mitch McConnell backed down. They walked away from the fight, largely, I think, because they were getting pressure from the business interests. You know, fortunately, a judge in Texas, a federal judge in Texas, has held up the president's unlegislated amnesty program. It's buying time for the Republicans to have another shot at this when the 2016 budgeting process comes up, and that's coming up very, very soon. But, you know, in the meantime, I think what we're struggling with now is trying to rein in this abuse of power by the Obama administration. You know, the president himself said on 22 occasions that he didn't have the constitutional authority to do what he declared back in November. And now it's really up to the Republicans in Congress to show the American public that they deserve their trust and actually put a stop to this. So that's really the big challenge facing us right now.
Yeah, when I mentioned the bill, too, I wasn't referring to the legislation. I was also talking about the cost. The cost going to be? We started off by saying, hey, we're at tax time. Nobody likes this time of year, of course, to pay the taxes, especially when we don't know where the money's going or we see the money squandered the way that it is. They constantly want more and more and more and more money. So I agree with the libertarians there that we need the shorter, smaller government. We got to do something to stop this out of control spending. But what we're saying here is with the emphasis on allowing so many people to come into the country to vote for more redistribution, I mean, what sort of price tag is this going to result in if this continues in the way that it currently is set up?
Well, first of all, it's interesting to note that the president didn't even put a price tag on his program. That was left up largely to Robert Rector at the Heritage Foundation, who actually sat down and tried to calculate what the cost of granting amnesty to just the 4.7 million people that are estimated to be covered under the president's unilateral amnesty. His assessment is that over the course of the lifetime of the people who would get amnesty under the Obama programs, it would cost American taxpayers about $1.3 trillion. $1.3 trillion. And, you know, one of the things we have to remember is that they will be eligible for Obamacare, which means that they will be getting huge subsidies from the taxpayers once they become eligible for Obamacare. And also, they will be eligible, even if they've never paid taxes here, they will be eligible to receive retroactively 3 years' worth of the earned income tax credit, which could put as much as $24,000 in the pockets of people who were working in the country illegally to begin with.
Now, there's some people on the other side of this debate that are saying, no, oh, no, these people are going to add to the tax base, you would say?
Well, first of all, you know, everybody who works here pays a little bit or is here. You know, even tourists add to the tax collection. But, you know, you also have to look at how that is offset by the cost of having these people here. You also have to look at, you know, the fact that most of the jobs that are being done by illegal aliens would be done by American workers. There are some 93 million Americans of working age who are not currently in the labor force, either voluntarily or involuntarily. Those jobs would likely be done by those American workers, often at higher wages and contributing more in taxes. So, you know, having people here contributes to the growth of the GDP, but it doesn't. It's per capita GDP that we have to look at. If you're adding, you know, $10 billion in GDP, and it's costing another $20 billion to have them all here, then we haven't gained anything.
Mm-hmm. Let me remind our listening audience, we're speaking with Ira Melman. He's the media director for FAIR. We're looking at his article that he just wrote called Mass Immigration is the Key Reason Residents in High-Tax States Are Voting with Their Feet. In other words, they're leaving these high-tax states and they're moving to low-tax states in order to escape this ever-increasing tax system that they're under. And he's making the case in the article that it's only going to get worse if you don't do something about illegal immigration. The article appears out on immigrationreform.com. You can go out there in order to read this article and other articles that are out there as well. Ira, I've mentioned this one in light of Rand Paul and his recent announcement for presidency, to run for the presidency. And I mentioned him because Steve Moore is actually working with Rand Paul. He's just announced the other day that he's been asked to be an advisor to Rand Paul and so forth, not on paid staff or anything like that. I don't mean to imply that, but he is working with him as an advisor. Does this tell us then something about Rand Paul, that basically he's adopted this type of position and he is somewhat blind to the repercussions that it's going to have for the American people if he doesn't do something about illegal immigration?
Well, look, I mean, Rand Paul has always been a libertarian at heart. Certainly his father has been sort of the leading libertarian in the American political scene for quite some time. So there's nothing surprising here. You know, I think Rand Paul is smart enough to understand that some of these messages are not going to appeal to the Republican voting base. And if you're facing a tough primary, that you probably don't want to say things that are going to alienate the people who do the nominating. But, you know, I think if you look at his record over the years, he certainly falls, you know, sort of close to the libertarian camp, if not right in the libertarian camp. So it's not surprising that he would have somebody like Stephen Moore serve as an advisor on his campaign.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday we had the announcement of Marco Rubio, and I've also spoken to Marco Rubio on the program. And, of course, he was right in there with the Gang of Eight, or one of the groups there that was behind comprehensive immigration reform, again, code word for amnesty in many ways. That was a completely failed attempt that happened. Apparently, he has repented of that and has a different view now, but I don't know if that's just to make him more palatable to run for the presidency. What do you think about his campaign?
Well, as you mentioned, he was one of the Gang of Eight. He was the one of the authors of the bill that would have granted amnesty to pretty much all 11 million illegal aliens who are believed to be here in the United States. There were some vague promises about, you know, that how the government was going to enforce laws in the future. Of course, we know those promises probably aren't worth the paper that they're printed on.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think Rubio took a lot of political heat from this. And, you know, he's running for the same votes that Rand Paul is in the primary season. And I think he recognizes just how unpopular those positions are with the Republican voting base. And by the way, not just with the Republican voting base, but probably with a large percentage of the independents who make up the plurality of the American electorate today. Amnesty for illegal aliens simply isn't something that the American public is really hankering for. It's not near the top of their political agenda. What they want to see is a president who will focus on the needs of the middle class, not just pay lip service. Look, Hillary Clinton talked about how she's going to be looking after the middle class. Everybody is talking about it. I think what the American public is waiting to see is somebody who actually walks the walk and doesn't just talk the talk. And, you know, as I said, Rubio, in his first term in the Senate, was one of the Gang of Eight, sponsored an amnesty bill, which would have absolutely decimated the American middle class. He's got to demonstrate to the American people that he really has changed his views on this subject.
Mm-hmm. Where would you rate this issue on immigration? When you use terms like decimate the middle class, we think about just how fragile our economy is currently. If this isn't fixed, this could really be a tremendous weight around the U.S. economy, around the status of the U.S. On the global market as well, too. Where would you rate this? Is this like one of the major concerns that we need to have on our radar coming into 2016?
Absolutely. You know, when we're talking about 11 million illegal aliens in the United States, that is a population larger than most states in the United States. We admit about 1.1 million legal immigrants to the United States every year. Best estimate is somewhere in the neighborhood of about 500,000 illegal aliens show up and settle permanently. You know, that's the equivalent of adding a major city to the United States every single year. And quite frankly, we're not keeping up economically. The job creation simply isn't keeping up with the growth of our labor force, which is why we have high unemployment. It's somewhat disguised because the Department of Labor doesn't count the millions and millions of people who've just dropped out of the labor force entirely. But when you have some 90 million people in this country who are either unemployed or dropped out of the labor force, that is huge liability. You know, these people don't drop off the face of the planet. They're still here, but they become dependent on those who are still working here in the United States. And it's unsustainable. And it's certainly, you know, if the law of supply and demand says if you have an abundance of workers, the price of any commodity, including labor, is going to go down. And so we're going to see a continued erosion of the middle class with more and more wealth in the hands of a very few and everybody else left scrambling to keep their heads above water. And I don't think that's the kind of future most Americans want for themselves or for their children.
Mm-hmm. Is there any of the candidates either declared or presumed that you feel is pretty strong on this issue?
Well, as a 501c3 organization, we really can't endorse any candidates. But, you know, I would encourage people to really look closely at their records, to read what they have put on their campaign websites, and most importantly, to ask questions. Ask direct questions. You know, don't let them get away with sort of this kind of nebulous language. Well, first we need to secure the border. You know, everybody says that. It is essentially a meaningless throwaway line.
Mm-hmm.
What people ought to want to hear from their candidates are real plans to reform our immigration process in the interest of the American people. The people who want to run this country need to understand that the American immigration policy, the primary constituency for U.S. immigration policy, are the American people. And, you know, the interests of the American people are largely left out of the debate right now when they should be right at the very center of the debate. This policy is there to protect the jobs and the tax dollars and the security of the American people, and nobody in Washington seems to care about that.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. I don't think this issue is being taken very seriously at all. I think it's certainly an uphill battle to try to talk with people about that this needs to be a very, very important top of mind issue for the United States going forward as we look at who we're going to elect. Here's another issue that you wrote about. This one was March 30th on the same website, immigrationreform.com. And this is not going to help along this line. But Pope Francis is supposed to come here to the United States. And it appears that much of his agenda is going to be trying to put pressure upon the leaders of the United States to go full into allowing illegal immigration in this country, right?
Yes. Look, I mean, I have great respect for the leader of the worldwide Roman Catholic Church and for a lot of other religious leaders who take the position that we have to admit endless numbers of immigrants. And I believe that they're doing this out of sincere compassion for the poor people all around the world. But one of the things we have to remember is there is no moral, legal, or religiously ethical system that allows people to be charitable with somebody else's resources.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be charitable with your job. I can't be charitable with your children's education. I can only be charitable with my own resources. And essentially what Pope Francis and a lot of other religious leaders are asking is that the American public give over their jobs. And, you know, it's important, obviously, jobs and the ability to sustain your family is important not just to people around the world, but also to people right here in the United States. And, you know, the church can certainly play a role. It can be help people. But, you know, we're simply not going to solve all the world's problems by bringing everybody who's unhappy with where they are to the United States. There are more than 7 billion people on this planet. The vast majority would be far better off here, but it's simply unrealistic. What the church ought to be doing is encouraging the kind of social and economic changes in those countries that would make it possible for people to live dignified, happy lives where they are and not seek to move someplace else, because in a world of 7 billion people, that simply isn't possible.
Amen. I wholeheartedly agree with that. It's very socialistic, and these people are fleeing socialistic regimes in their own country. And basically, when they come here, if everybody has their way that's trying to force this down the throat of the American people, they're going to turn this into a socialist country as well. Within light of that, with that in view, do the Hispanics themselves, do they, I know they don't vote monolithically and it's hard to categorize them this way, but do they really want this to take place?
I don't think so. That's certainly not Hispanic citizens of the United States. You know, if you look at polls that have been done on Hispanic political opinion in this country, Hispanics want basically the same thing that everybody else wants. They want the government to focus on getting good-paying jobs here in the United States, improving the quality of their children's education, all the sort of bread-and-butter issues that motivate the voting decisions of everybody else in this country. We have to sort of get back to the reality that we can either have high immigration or we can increase the value of people's labor, the quality of their children's education. And when those choices are presented, Hispanics, like pretty much everybody else, say, I would really like the government to focus on getting this economy in shape, getting jobs back here to the United States, having quality education for my kids. Those are hard things. It's very easy for Congress to pass a law or for President Obama to sign some kind of order and say, let's just let everybody into the United States who wants to come here. That can be done with a stroke of the pen. Fixing the economy, fixing the education system, fixing the tax system, that's hard work. So, you know, they're opting for the easy way out here.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ira, thank you so much. Thank you for coming on the program today to talk to us about this important issue. Thank you for the work that you do there at immigrationreform.com and with FAIR as well. We really appreciate your efforts.
Thank you.
All right. Again, that was Ira Melman. He is the media director for FAIR, and he is also he's the author of the article that we've been talking about. Oh, let's see. There we go. He's the author of the article that we were talking about, and it appears out on immigrationreform.com. The article is entitled, Mass Immigration is a Key Reason Residents of High-Tax States Are Voting with Their Feet. His final statement in that article, the final paragraph, says this: the taxpaying middle class is indeed voting with their feet. But Moore, referring to Stephen Moore, and the libertarians at places like the Cato Institute need to come to grips with the reality that if they get their way on immigration, the middle class base will continue to shrink and there will be fewer and fewer places left for those who earn enough to pay taxes to seek refuge. And I wholeheartedly agree. I don't think that, in fact, let me put it in the positive way. I think the biblical case can be made that we should not be forced. Somebody shouldn't take our money and then give it to others. If we want to help and give to the poor, then that's our right and our responsibility before God to do so. But for the state to go ahead and do that for us, to force us to do that, that's something completely different. Remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ said, He said you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.